Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. And let's all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord today. And I'm going to, again, I don't making excuses, but I will tell you, yes, I have a problem pronouncing Nebuchadnezzar's name correctly on a consistent basis. And when we were over in Spain, I still remember Nebuchadnezzar, and it took me a long time to get that, and a lot of practice, but I have trouble with it even in English. But let's read these first 11 verses, and we're going to just start going over this here. Verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and there's an interesting side note in that word troubled that we're going to look at. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. Boy, aren't those the people you want consulting you? So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know, or you could also say understand. My spirit is troubled to understand the dream, to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. And we're going to talk about that. There's some small disagreement as to the proper translation of that, and it is a bit interesting to me. But the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards of great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we're going to tell you the interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time because you see the word from me is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, then there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was saying, how do I know that you guys just aren't going to make up some interpretation? But if you tell me what the dream was that I dreamed, then that's a confirmation that the interpretation is going to be correct. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except, and this is a very interesting phrase that if we can get down to verse 11, we're going to cover it today. No one can show it to the king except the gods, plural, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And so I'm going to, again, I've got a mess of notes. I've got a mess on my hands here. And I'm going to preach for about 20, 25 minutes here on Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we're going to have like a part one and a part two. But if we can just go through these verses today, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. And God, we know that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And oh God, we pray, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word, Lord. God, give us understanding. And Lord, let us get strength from your word, Lord. Let us leave here edified and let us leave here strengthened, God, and more secure in you, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams and his spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. And I want to get a show of hands here. Has anybody ever had a dream, not a good dream, bad dream, and you wake up in the middle of the night and your heart is pounding? Raise your hand. Some of you raise both hands. Friend, I've been there. I've been there. I have had dreams that were so real to me that I would wake up but still be groggy, and in my head I would lay there in bed for 20 or 30 minutes thinking that it had really happened. And I would still be, maybe something tragic would have happened and I'd be so sad. And then finally after 20 or 30 minutes I'd say, why do I feel this is even true? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar had one of those dreams. And it says that his spirit was troubled. And this may not interest you, but it's very interesting to me that if you look up this word troubled in the Hebrew, it means his spirit was struck. Wham! The root word payam in Hebrew means to strike as with a hammer on an anvil or as a hammer to ring a bell. Wham! And in Hebrew, it can actually be used kind of as a euphemism for the pounding of the heart. Okay? And so Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he woke up in the night and his heart was pounding. But there's also, in my opinion, and this is something I didn't read out of a study resource. This is just something that came to me. And so I might not be right on this, but there's another significance about his spirit being quote unquote struck. Is, do y'all remember when we were a couple months ago when we were in the book of Daniel? Did I say Daniel? I told you I've got a mess here today. Jeremiah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother Robert. When we were in the book of Jeremiah, does anybody remember what Jeremiah, in one place we covered it? I doubt you're going to remember and guess, but there was one of the chapters. In fact, it was chapter Jeremiah 50. When we got to Jeremiah 50, what was Nebuchadnezzar likened unto? Does anybody remember? A hammer. Yes, Carl, a hammer. Nebuchadnezzar was likened to a hammer. And it says in Jeremiah 50 and 23, how the hammer of the whole earth is cut down and broken. In other words, God was saying, yes, Nebuchadnezzar, you were a hammer, but you were a hammer in my hand. You were just a tool in my hand, and I was using you to beat down and punish these nations, one of them being the nation of Israel. And I was using you as a hammer. And you read, it's interesting to me here that this is early in Nebuchadnezzar, you know, this is in the second year. And it says his spirit was troubled, or if you will allow me to use kind of the Hebrew meaning, his spirit was hammered. Meaning, the hammer himself was getting hammered. Okay? So no matter how strong and no matter how arrogant somebody feels they are, Nebuchadnezzar, with all in what he thought of himself as being a great and a powerful king, listen, even the hammer could get hammered. You know what I'm saying? And and then there's just some things about this passage that, let me get into the mess part of it, okay? This is part of the mess. Kristen, I'm getting ready to start throwing the flour on the floor. You read Daniel chapter 2 about Nebuchadnezzar having a dream, and you read it and you almost get this, as Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again. And that's actually supposed to be funny, by the way. Deja vu does mean, it's deja vu all over again. But that was one of, you know, Yogi Berra said, you know, that I don't go to that restaurant anymore. It's so crowded, nobody goes there anymore. You know, he would say stuff like that. They asked Yogi Berra, if you found $100,000 in a brown paper bag, what would you do with it? And Yogi Berra answered, and he goes, well, if I found out it was belonged to a poor man, I'd give it back to him. Well, poor man's not going to have $100,000, okay? But so anyway, you start reading Daniel chapter 2, and it's deja vu all over again. Because you say, this sounds familiar of who and where? Joseph in Egypt. And you look, and nothing in the Bible is coincidental. Look at all of these similarities. Daniel was quite young when he was taken into captivity. So was Joseph when his brothers sold him into Egypt. And he worked in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife, you remember, Joseph didn't do anything bad, but Potiphar's wife kind of had a wandering eye. And, you know, she accused Joseph of an inappropriate relationship. And he ends up going to prison. And while he's in prison, remember, there's the cupbearer, there's the baker, and he interprets their dreams. Okay? And so Joseph could interpret dreams. And if you read last week when we were in Daniel 1, it said that Daniel could interpret dreams. So here you got two guys, they're both young, they both interpret dreams. And Daniel is a captive, and Joseph got put where? Prison. So he's a captive. And he interprets that cupbearer's dream, and he goes, please speak well of me to the king. And the cupbearer forgot him. Does anybody remember how long the cupbearer forgot him? 2 years. Genesis 41 and 1. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the Nile River. He had a dream, just like a totally different dream than Nebuchadnezzar. But you notice that Daniel 2 and 1, if you can put that back on the screen again, Brother Bill, says in the second year. So we've got 2 years in Genesis with Joseph. We've got 2 years in the book of Daniel with Daniel. And the same time frame. And if you look in Genesis, it says that that Pharaoh called for all of his, you know, occult experts, his astrologers and his soothsayers. And they could not interpret the dream. And Pharaoh in 41 and 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and there's no one who can interpret it. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 11, those wise men tell Nebuchadnezzar, nobody can interpret this dream for you. Nobody can interpret this dream. And then you'll remember Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and you remember Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And is it just me, and I even went over this with Sister Wiggins. I needed a consultant. I needed a consultant, and Brian, you wouldn't answer your phone. No, it was actually quite early in the morning, and I didn't want to disturb you. But these two stories are too similar. There's got to be a connection. And so I asked Sister Wiggins, I said, I've thought about this all week long. And I have thought about this from time to time over the years. And baby, I just don't know what the connection is. And I said, what do you think it is? And I'm so thankful that she didn't totally know. Because, I mean, if I would have struggled with this for years and then her say, oh, yeah, that's easy. Let me see what it is. Blah, 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 blah. I would have felt like, okay, well, you know what? I'm stupid. But one of the things that you said, if I remember, Sister Wiggins, you said that was one of the ways of authenticating Joseph as a prophet in the eyes of Pharaoh, and that was also a way of authenticating Daniel as a prophet in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar, and that God was doing this, and that it was similar. But as far as other similarities, if you've got any ideas after service, please come up and let me know. Because I don't have my hands, or again, it's just like taking flour and chocolate and eggs and just throwing it in the floor and saying, look at the brownies. I just don't know. But there's some significance there and there's some meaning there that I haven't gotten my hands around yet. But I will say there is a couple of things that I do know about this. Is that, and if I can just say it this way, one of the things that God was showing Pharaoh, and one of the things that God especially was showing Nebuchadnezzar, is you might be the king, but don't you think for a moment that you're really on the throne. You might sit on a human throne for a temporal time, but Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, don't you ever forget that the only reason that you are there is because I put you there. And I can put you up, I can build you up, and I can bring you down. I've got power to put up kings. I've got power to take kings down. And in fact, if you look, Romans 9 and 17, Paul quoting, talking about Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up. In other words, Pharaoh, I can raise you up and I can take you down. Proverbs 21 and 1 said, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. In other words, you're sitting on the throne, you've got the crown, you've got the royal scepter in your hand, and you think, I'm the king. No. There's somebody above you that is the king. In fact, interestingly enough, look at Daniel chapter 2, this same chapter. Look at verses 36 and verse 37. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. This is Daniel talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. He relates to him what the dream was, and he says, now I'm going to give you the interpretation. And he says, you, O king, the king of what? Because Nebuchadnezzar had conquered all of these nations. And so he was a king that was over kings. He was a king of kings. And in the ancient days, they would go out and go to battle and slaughter everybody, but they would bring the king back alive. If you remember, Saul tried to do that with Agag, and Samuel kind of intervened a little bit. Why? Because that king was a trophy. You could set that king at your table. And you could get up in the morning. You could go to dinner that evening and you could say, okay, I've got 11 kings from nations that I've conquered. I've got seven. I'm king and I've got seven kings that are eating at my table, depending on me for their life's food. I am a king of kings. And Daniel says, he says, you, O king, the king of kings. And then if you go to the book of Ezra, can you get me that out of for about Artaxerxes, who was part of the Persian Empire later on? It says Artaxerxes, king of kings. But let me tell you something. And you guys already know where I'm going. And it's so clear to us today, because we live in the light of the finished scriptures. We live in the light of the entire New Testament being finished, the whole canon of scripture being completed. To where we can read it and we can piece it all together, but it wasn't so easy for them back in those days. And they were saying, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, you are a king of kings. But listen, Nebuchadnezzar, you are not the king of kings. Because it says in Revelation 17 and 14, it says they made war with the Lamb. That's Jesus Christ. They made war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For the Lord is, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Nebuchadnezzar, you might have had 11 kings eating at your table at night. You might have been a king of kings, but don't you ever think that you have the supreme authority and the supreme power, because there is only one that is the true king of kings. Revelation 19:11, he said, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. And then you go down to verse 16. It says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, listen, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm giving you a dream and I'm trying to humble you. And I'm trying to show you that you've got a kingdom, but there's going to be a day that your kingdom's going to pass away and another kingdom's going to rise up and it's going to pass away. And then another kingdom after it's going to rise up and it's going to pass away. But listen, there is a true king and he is going to have a kingdom. And of the Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, of the increase of his government, there shall be what? No end. It's an everlasting kingdom. And Jesus told them, told the disciples, go out and preach and tell everybody that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, there's a new king in town. There's a new king that is going to be rising up. The true King of Kings. And you know, I don't know about you, but I get very, very secure in my heart when I realize Jesus Christ was reigning on his throne from the heavenlies. Before I was ever born into this earth. And Jesus Christ is going to be reigning on his throne after I leave this earth. It's a kingdom that's never going to end. It's a kingdom that's never going away. It's never going anywhere. You've heard the story about everybody. I mean, I'm not telling you anything. You've heard the story about how I believe it was it Voltaire that was saying that, you know, that the Bible will be extinct. Nobody will read it. It will vanish away. Christianity will vanish away. There is no God. This is just a fleeting thing that'll go away. And he gets old and dies. And after he's dead, there's a printing press sitting in a building that had belonged to Voltaire. Kind of a garage sale, kind of like that scooter out there. Do you know who picked it up? Who picked it up, Carl? The Moody Bible and Tract Society. That's the way the story goes. picked it up. And after he was dead and in the ground, they were using his printing press to print the Bible. It's the way the story goes. You know, I want to tell you something. Right now, we're not in a good place in this nation. Times are very, very unsettled. There's a lot of division in this nation. There's issues. There's problems. There's all kinds of stuff. But in the midst of the chaos, thank God, I've got a kingdom that's sure, that's going to be here tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Brother William Johnson, you remember, you've told me that when you were living in Liberia, that you guys would have revolution, right? And when we talk revolution, we're not talking about the Democrats not getting along with the Republicans. We're not talking about them arguing out in the streets. And maybe a little bit of vandalism goes on and, oh my goodness, a building got burned down. That's not what we're talking about in Liberia. We're talking war, revolution, unsettled. People wondering, am I even going to have a home this time next year? Am I even going to be alive this time next year? Things so unsettled. And Brother Johnson, you lived in that kind of stuff. You lived in that kind of stuff. You know, it's funny, when you get up in the morning, sometimes you get busy and you say, oh man, I forgot to pray this morning. I was just too busy. Brother Johnson, when you were going through all that revolution and all that violence and bloodshed, did you have trouble forgetting to pray? No. It was the first thing you did every morning, and it was the last thing you did at night before you went to sleep. Yeah. Why? Because your world was upside down. Let's all stand. I only got like two verses. Again, I told you, I don't know how to get to all this. This is just, I've got a mess on my hands. That's what I've got. I've just got a mess. But if you remember when Jesus was up to be crucified, the Jews kept calling, trying to get himself to say that he was the king. And the reason they wanted him to say that he was the king is because then they could tell the Romans, hey, this guy is trying to usurp the Roman kingdom. He's calling himself the king. He needs to be killed. And Jesus told them. And I know, because you might have a question and you might say, Brother Wiggins, if he really is on the throne, then how come all of the unrest in our nation? If Jesus Christ really is the Prince of Peace, and he's ruling and reigning, then why all of the turmoil? Why all of the assassination attempts? Why? I read one guy on Facebook a few months ago. He said, you know, he goes, here's my life. He goes, I just get up in the mornings and just ask myself, so, what chapter out of the book of Revelation are you going to be living in today? You said, Brother Wiggins, if he's really on the throne, how come all this stuff is going on? Just remember, Jesus, when they tried to get him to declare himself the king, he told them, he says, listen, folks, my kingdom is not of this world. Because if it were, my soldiers would be down here fighting right now. And it would be a different story. The only reason you guys aren't getting mowed down by legions of angels, the only reason that fire and brimstone isn't falling from the sky on you guys, is because I am a king in the heavenly realm. And you said, but Brother Wiggins, we don't live in the heavenlies. We live here on earth. Well, just remember this. when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven, blessed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is coming a day that God's will shall be done down here on earth the way it is in heaven. And Zechariah chapter 14 says, the Lord will be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. You know what? Our kingdom, folks, is not of this world. When November rolls around, I'm going to get my ballot. I'm going to vote. But I consider myself a member of a different kingdom. I love the United States of America. Cut me open, I'll bleed red, white, and blue. I love this country. But you know what? I have a higher calling in my life. It's an honor to be an American citizen. And Brother Johnson, you got your passport because you got to become an American citizen here a few years ago. That was a great day in your life. But Brother Johnson, you've got a higher calling than being an American citizen. You're a member of a different kingdom that's high and lifted up. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Let's all gather around the front and pray for a few moments.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Best thing I've ever Jesus, falling in love, Jesus, falling in love, Jesus, is the best thing I've ever done.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. If you will just allow us to walk through Daniel chapter 2 in this dream of Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to find, in my opinion, and I'm as wrong as the next guy, but you're going to find some deeply theological truths that you can put down, not just in your head, but in your heart, and you can live by them. And I will tell you, had I been Pharaoh sitting on the throne, or had I been Nebuchadnezzar sitting on the throne, I would have been humbled when I found out what my dream meant. I would have been humbled and realized I might be a king, but I better humble myself under the hand of the King of Kings. And amen. Let's worship the Lord one more time. God, we're so thankful for you. Thankful for your presence, God. Thankful for your word, O Lord. Thankful for your spirit, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.